The Nature Stories podcast, where people and place intersect.
Me being on a bike allows me to observe how it all fits together. So when we pass a bunch of frogs, cars go zooming right by, but we hear them. When we pass wolves, which we did, those things were really loud. You're connected to all of nature, including human nature.
I'm Samantha Brown. Welcome back to the Nature Stories podcast, curated by Atlantic Public Media in collaboration with the Nature Conservancy and the Public Radio Exchange. Recently, we've been listening to pieces about journeys of discovery in the natural world. This week and next, we feature stories of travels on two wheels. The pieces come from Stories from the Heart of the Land, a public radio series which considers the connection between people and the natural world. Here's series host Jay Allison.
First, Barrett Golding, who's had a bicycle for as long as he can remember.
It was a necessity. I was a kid. It was like, you know, air. You had to have a bike.
And Barrett stayed on a bicycle for about a half century. He was one of Boston's first bike messengers in the early 70s. Today, he bikes from his home base in Bozeman, Montana. His trips vary from short trips into town to long trips with friends around the rim of Yellowstone. Maybe you've thought about taking your family on the Lewis and Clark Trail by car or a tour bus. Barrett did the whole trail on a bike. And often when he rides, he brings his microphone with him.
Almost at the top.
For Barrett, being on a bicycle allows him to see the world differently.
You know, you feel connected. In a car, you're insulated from the world. In a bike, you're connected to the world. You don't have that layer of insulation.
Just a hair of a headwind.
So you know what temperature it is, and you know how windy it is. It goes your skin, the air, the atmosphere, the planet. No buffers.
I have no idea where I am and don't really want to take time to look at a map.
I don't have a sense of direction.
And as long as I don't end up in the town I just started in, we will call that progress.
People give me directions and they say, you know, you take six rights and five lefts, and then you do a couple circles, and then you go. I don't even pay attention. I just watch where they point first, and I just go there.
Little hill here.
We find, every day we find a place to sleep and a place to eat. And then I find people.
Well, my name is Jim Denny. I live along the Missouri River in a little town about 10 miles south here on the west side called Lupus, Missouri. I'm
James Denny's, he was probably closer to 60 than he is 50.
I've spent almost all of that time studying this region and the history of the Missouri River. It's kind of a ruling passion of my life.
He took me down to the river. He showed me a place where Lewis and Clark stood.
What you wouldn't give to just see it the way it was. You know, to go back and just see this place, you know, when there were still mountain lions and black bears and wild Indians, you know, roaming its woods. And back, you know, when the river was just this tremendous body of water that snaked all over the place with thousands of islands. And, you know, we've done great things. You know, we've become a great nation and a great power, but we've destroyed a lot of Edens to do that. And I think there are a lot of us that like to see those lost Edens that were once here.
Move up in the gears.
You do see what was from a bike. And there are places along the Missouri, not far from civilized, you know, from towns, where if you cock your head just right and get the telephone poles out of the way, it looks just like it looked. Just like it looked.
I wonder if I'm still on the same road. I haven't been paying attention.
There's a lot of land in between towns, and most people don't see it, even if they drive it. And people pull off at these vista points along the road, We never pull in. There's no need. We're seeing it the whole way.
On a bicycle, it's all vista points.
It really is a good place to think, too. I hear people talking about nature like it's some place to go. Like there's some difference between where you are now and where it is. And that's where the problem lies. You talk about preserving nature like it's some sort of little pet. Nature doesn't put up with that.
The pace of biking is really well suited for seeing things, hearing things, and meeting people. You end up stopping in lots more towns than you ever would think of stopping in on a car.
Horace Axtell, he's a Nez Perce elder in Lewiston, Idaho, not far from the Snake River. Lewiston's a big river town. A couple of rivers join there.
Totally ready to get out of the saddle.
And we pull up, and he's sitting out in his lawn chair, and he talked about living on the land.
This land where I live is my homeland. To me, it's like my sacred home. All the water that flows from different rivers and springs is like the blood veins we have in our bodies. Without blood veins, we couldn't live, and without water, we couldn't live.
The water that goes through the land is like the blood that goes through your vein. There's really no difference. Take either away, and what you get is death.
Okay.
Me being on a bike allows me to observe how it all fits together. So when we pass a bunch of frogs, cars go zooming right by, but we hear them. When we pass wolves, which we did, those things were really loud. You're connected to all of nature, including human nature.
I'm paddling the river in a canoe.
Neil Phillips.
I started at the headwaters on May 10th in 3/4.
We were downtown in Chamberlain, South Dakota. So we wake up in the morning, go to get some breakfast, and this old guy is sitting on a bench. When I say old, I mean just because he has some years doesn't mean he's fit as hell, actually. He's a former canoe racer, it turned out. And he's thumbing through this stack of cut-up navigation maps, which you don't see very often.
I left the Canadian border last year and ended up at the Mexican border right down the coast. Took me 7 months and 2 days in a canoe. I mean, you're traveling at between, 4 or 5 miles an hour, so you see everything. Bighorn sheep, mountain goats, elk, white-tailed deer, mule deer, and all the other small animals that go along the rivers. Sure, you hurt. Like right now, I know there's something coming because I was hurting just walking right down this morning. You can't let them stop you. You know, you got to take ibuprofen or something like that, and that's about as much as I take. But you just keep pushing.
Not a big deal, but it winded me.
Barrett Golding.
Okay.
He's always dreaming up where he's going to bicycle next. The last we heard was a trip all the way to Banff, Canada, and now he's telling us he may be headed across the middle of America. Look out for him on the highway.
Barrett's piece comes from our series Stories from the Heart of the Land, produced by Atlantic Public Media. You can read Barrett's biking tips, including what to eat and how to find it, at heartoftheland.org. Our music was composed and performed by Bill Frizzell. The Nature Stories podcast is produced with support from the Nature Conservancy, committed to protecting nature and preserving life. If you'd like more information on the series or the podcast, go to nature.org/stories. And next week, join me for a motorcycle trip to Mexico's Sierra Madre. From Woods Hole, Massachusetts, I'm Samantha Brown.